Good morning, church. How are you enjoying July weather? Yeah, we're going to be talking about money and stuff like that. I know a lot of people don't like to hear about money, but God talks about money a lot. It's one of the main themes. And as Pastor just talked about the Feast of Tabernacles, well, we're into this section where they would gather all of their wheat and everything else that they grew. So they're celebrating what God had done, and they were rejoicing in the fact that God was supplying their needs and everything that they had. So God is a supplier of all of our things. I wanted to say this personally. The last couple weeks, I've been hit with reality. You know, we get hit with reality all the time. But it makes you stop and think. And I've been actually contemplating on this for several months. What am I doing with my life? What am I doing with the resources I have? What am I doing that would honor God? Because when it comes down to the end, I would like for it to be like Paul would say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So I've really been thinking about that. And the devil can get in your head too. So we'll talk about that. All right, if you put up the scripture, Matthew 6. The first part of this, do not lay up for yourself treasures on the earth where the moth, the rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. And we know that today, especially out there in the world, that's what they're doing. Every time you turn around, somebody's trying to take from you some way, shape, or form. You know, and it's an interesting question. What am I doing with what I have? And I'll just give you a simple illustration, because this is what happens almost every day where we have decisions to make concerning money and other types of things. Richard and I played in a church scramble yesterday to raise money for a Christian camp. And there was one place where if you got a hole in one, you could win $20,000, because somebody bought insurance and the insurance would pay somebody $20,000 if you got a hole in one. And the question in my mind was, what would I do if I won that $20,000? Because this was a benefit to help this Christian camp. And they said they mainly work with teenagers, younger kids, and they had 43 decisions for the Lord this year and other things. So they're doing a really good job. And I thought, if I won that $20,000, what would I do with it? So it's an interesting question. I'm not going to tell you what I went through the processes of what I would do with it, but I throw that question out to you. If you were handed $20,000, what would you do with it? So we're laying up our treasures, okay? So what happens to us when we lay it up on earth? You want to put the definition of treasure up there? We'll come back to the other one. Accumulated or stored wealth, or anything considered valuable to store away for future use or to hoard. This is probably for the older people, because I don't think they do this today. In English class in school, did anyone ever read the story about Silas Marner? Did we have anybody? We got one person that's Oh, two people, all of us old people. See, I've never forgot that story because it was a man who lived by himself, was able to make money, but all he did was store it up and hoard it until a little girl came along and changed his life. You see, what are we doing with life? What are we doing with what God's given us? It's really important. And I want to say that money is very important because it's a priority in our relationship with God. If you take a look at what's going on in your life and where you have money and all this kind of stuff, it still boils down, does that overshadow your relationship with God? Does it get in the way? You know, how many times do we decide that we have to go do this rather than go to church? Or we go do this to make money and we don't have time to pray? Or we don't have time to visit the sick or whatever it might be? You see, you don't have to make a lot of money. It's not about how much. See, we tend to get caught up that the world tells you that if you make a lot of money, you're successful. Not necessarily. Money is not really what makes you successful. There's a story that Rick Joyner put in one of his books about a homeless man. And the homeless man was saved. Well, he got tracts from a church, and he would stand on the street corner and hand out tracts, and he would testify to people out there, and then he would work with the other helpless people any way he could. He spent his life helping people even though he didn't have hardly anything. And one night when it was really, really cold, his friend was sick, and so he took his own body and covered this sick man. And the sick man lived, but he died. He sacrificed his own life for somebody else. Money was never the issue. It was, how is it of what I have? Because he looked at what he had, and how can I use it? That's the important thing. So, you know, how does money affect your relationship with God? That's really important, so that you understand that material things should not get in the way. I know when my wife and I first got married, we did a lot of dumb stuff. Well, we got married, we got to have a car, we got to have furniture, we got to have this. And I was making $42 a week. But you still went out and got it. Not real smart. But see, we have this feeling within us because what we see in the world all the time, you got to have, you got to have, you got to have. No, you don't have to. Well, let's take example of some of the things that God... You want to go right now to Luke chapter 12? This is about the man who had a lot. And as it says here, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. So our life does not consist of how much we have. That's not the important thing. On a tombstone, I don't think I've ever read where a man put on the tombstone, "I wish I would have went to the office more often." I don't think that flies. Okay. Then he spoke a parable saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plenty, and thought with himself, okay, I don't have enough room for all my crops, so I'll tear them down and build bigger ones. And after he builds all these, he said, okay, now I can relax. I can do what? What does it say? I can just go on. I can be merry and live everlasting. You know? Have fun. Enjoy. Is that what we're supposed to do with our money? You see, he was very self-centered. And one of the key issues for all of us is to deal with the self-centeredness when it comes to everything, but money is very much involved. So we have to look at ourselves and say, okay, how do I use it? How do I get rid of this self-centeredness so that I'm honoring God rather than just building up my own kingdom? You know, I've had this thought in my mind many times. Am I building God's kingdom or am I building my kingdom? And see, it isn't just money. It can be all kinds of things. It can try and draw people into you rather than to who they should be, you know, listening to or following or whatever. There's all kinds of ways that you can build your own kingdom. And what is my motive? And that's very important when it comes to how I use money. Because God's given me, or you, or anybody else, life. He's given you abilities. He's given you the capacity to work. But what's all that for? You see, we're to be thankful to give unto God. And it's not just giving tithes and offerings. You know, if we just give tithe and offerings, that's a good thing. But there's much more to it. Much more to it. So this man, what happened to him? Anybody tell me? God took him. You're so self-centered, all you want to do is live, be happy, go party, whatever. And said, I'm going to take you because of your self-centeredness. You see, that's not a good thing. It's just like I gave you the idea that if we could have won that $20,000, that $20,000 could be used to advance the kingdom of God. Not to say, oh boy, I can go out and buy a new car. See, that's the kind of thing that we're faced with. And it doesn't have to be $20,000. How many of you ever dreamed of winning the lottery? Come on, be honest. Most of you have thought about, and I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and don't have anything to do, so all of a sudden I say, oh gee, if I had $100 million, where could I give it? How could I use it? Hey, but you know what? That's not right. Because God gives unto you, and then you're to use it according to what he gives you. See, and you can step in somebody's way and help somebody when really you might be hindering what God wants to do in their life. So it's also wisdom in how to use your money. Very important. I thought of the prodigal son. The prodigal son wanted it now. Now, for us older people, remember when McDonald's first started? Around here, it was 1956. Our first McDonald's was over on close to Mishawaka. And I mean, that was something. You could walk right up, get it, walk out. Then they started the drive-through. So once they started the drive-through, what do we have? We have instant gratification. And that's what's happened ever since, is that we're wanting everything now. Okay? And as a result, people will many times go into debt. And the Bible says what? owe no man. So it's important how we use our money, and it's important that we stay out of debt and not just get things to get things, because that's not what it's for. Okay, let's go to Luke 18. This is about the rich ruler, rich man that came to Jesus. And he said, I've kept all the law. And Jesus says, you lack one thing. Sell everything and follow me. And what was the answer? He turned and walked away. He was not willing to give up all that riches. Now, my wife and I have been blessed to know a lot of really neat people in our lives. And one of the people was here just about 2 weeks ago. The wife was. The husband died a couple years ago. They had good jobs, good house, Mercedes-Benz. They had everything that they needed. And God spoke to them and said, sell everything. And I want you to go into the mission field. And they were obedient to go into the mission field. And as a result, they have been blessed and they have served others for like 35 years. Because they were willing to give up everything that they had. They sold everything and actually gave it to the mission. They didn't just sell their house and everything and keep the money. They sold it and gave it away. That'd be hard for me. I don't know about you, but that wouldn't be the easiest thing, the easiest decision to make. But that's what they've done. And my sister was telling me the other day, she couldn't remember the name of the missionary, but it happened like 70, 80 years ago. And she didn't even remember what country, whether it was in Africa or where exactly it was. But this missionary was in this small village, and some intruders came in to take him captive. And he seen them coming, so he ripped out the first six chapters of the book of Acts. And he stuck it in his sock because he knew that he'd be imprisoned. And there was a man in front of him, and the man in front of him had a purse of coins or money. And the man clutched it in his hand, and he would not let go of that money. And when the people came in, they said, what's in your hand? And he would not release that fist. And he was tortured until he released the money. That's how important the money was to that particular man. What a difference between the missionary who was looking to God, looking to what he needed to do, compared to holding on to whatever riches he had. You see, we have those decisions every day. We don't have them that dramatic, but we have decisions every day that we need to make in relationship to money. And that affects our relationship with God. Okay, Luke 19. This is a story where the nobleman went away and he gave his servants a different amount of money. And I think everybody knows the story. And when the nobleman comes back, he asks each one of them what they did with the money. And the last person who was given the least amount buried it. And he was called wicked. So how do we use what God gives us? And I really believe this is more than money. I think this is abilities. This is giftings that he gives each one of us to use. And are you using it to advance the kingdom of God? Everything we have, whether it's money, abilities, or anything else, is to advance the kingdom of God, not to advance our kingdom. Not so that we can live, because, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but we're bombarded every day from the media and everything else. Hey, get this, get this. How about this? You know? So we are responsible for what God gives us. Can you go back to the first passage? He said in the second aspect of it, we've been talking about this to a degree, but lay your treasures up in heaven. How do you lay treasures in heaven? I thought about this, and there's probably a lot of ways you can go with this, but one of the first things I thought about is fulfilling the responsibilities that God's given you, and that's family. Loving your family, taking care of your family, the best that you're able to do so. That's the first thing that came to my mind, but then some of the scriptures, Colossians 3:2 says, set your affections on, anybody know?
Things above.
Set your affections, because, see, the next part of that passage from Matthew 6 says, where your treasure is, there so is your heart. So if I'm setting my affections on things above, my heart is up here, not down on the earth. And Psalm 19:14, which is the verse that I picked as my life verse 62 years ago. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You see, so, and because it says in the scripture, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So even when we speak out of our mouth, it's coming from our heart. Okay? So if that's, then I want God to be pleased with what I'm doing, whatever that may be. And so that's another thought I had. Then Joshua 1:8 talks about meditating day and night upon the Lord, upon the Word. When you're meditating upon the Word, when you're meditating upon God, you're not thinking of self. You're not thinking about how I can make more money. You're thinking about what is it that God wants me to do. That's the important thing here. And so those are the kind of scriptures. And then I thought of Matthew 6:33, which says, seek first the kingdom of God. When we have a financial situation, do you seek first the kingdom of God? Or do you go to your banker, or go to your wife, or go to your neighbor and say, okay, what are we going to do? Now, those aren't wrong if they're in the proper order. But seek first the kingdom of God. Jeremiah 29. You want to turn to Jeremiah 29. We all know this verse, but what it boils down to is God has purpose for you. He has plans for you. Don't let money step in the way of God's purpose and plans that He has for your life. Because I know people that money has stepped in the way and they're not doing what God called them to do. And that's a sad thing. So don't let money become a priority. It's very important. And so, you know, God is telling us, every one of us has something to do to advance the kingdom of God. You have purpose on this life, and this purpose is not just... Now, He may give you a job, and you might make millions of dollars. We're not talking about how much money you have. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of money. It's how you get it. And then it's how you use it. See? In fact, a lot of times, people that don't have much covet money more than the person who is getting rich. Because the person who's poor, they just want things. They want things. It's not about things. It's about what does God want you to do. And if He gives you a lot of money, it just gives you more responsibility. You have more responsibility of what to do with it. And, you know, and like I said earlier, it's not about how much tithe or offering you give. It goes beyond that. See, Hebrews 8:10 tells us that God will write the laws on your heart. See, if you seek after Him, He will write the laws on your heart so that you want to do the right thing with everything, not just money. And see, that's really what we're after. We're after to allow God to work in us so that we can be used in accordance to what His purpose and plan is for our lives. Because, you know, one of the reality is we're getting older. And, you know, how much time you got? Okay? So what did I do? What do I need to change? It's never too late to change. Never. Here's what I wrote down. I didn't put this on the... This came later. Three things. Dethrone self. Enthrone Christ. So one of the first steps is to dethrone yourself. And the second step is to enthrone Christ. And the third thing is to serve others. A servant's heart. That's what God wants from us. The servant's heart. And we are to treat and to serve each other within the body of Christ. You know, when you serve people within the body of Christ, you're also showing your relationship with God. To love the people within the body of Christ, not just your church, in the body of Christ. And so it's important that we do that. And then we can do like the Good Samaritan. You know, the Good Samaritan went what some of us may call way beyond. Because nobody else wanted to do anything for this man that was hurt. And yet he was able to take him, set him up, get help, come back, and to pay anything that needed to be paid. And he didn't even know the person. You know. And the last time that I gave a message, we talked about the widow, the poor, and the orphan. Those are very important that we help those people. And we can help them in different ways. Because there's always people in need. That's the bottom line to it. Okay. Jesus gave us this example of the poor widow. She didn't have but just a very little, but what did she do? She gave it all. Do you think she was blessed? She was blessed. Now, God's not going to ask you necessarily to give you, you know, say, okay, God, what do you want? Give me everything. He may not ask you to do that. On the other hand, he might. The thing is to be obedient to what God asks you to do. And as long as you're doing that, then you're on the right track. Okay, let's go to Luke 11. This has, because in the next, in the passage dealing with Matthew 6, it talks about the eye. Okay. Here is the passage that no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed. The world comes at us, whether it's TV or whatever, and they're always, always bringing, and all you're seeing. I used to tell the kids in school, watch what you watch and watch what you listen to. Because they're gates. And whether you might disagree with what you see, you might disagree with what you hear, but if you continue to see and you continue to hear, that's going in. And eventually it's going to affect you. What happened with Eve? Satan said to Eve, doesn't that look good? Doesn't that, you know, I don't know all the words he used because the scripture doesn't give us that. But he probably said, didn't that look delicious? Wouldn't you like to take a big bite out of that? Okay, the world does the same thing to us. And so our eye gate is very important, what we're looking at. And what we're listening to. What is it that you desire? Scripture says Jesus is the light of the world. Now, as I was looking at that, the first thing that came to my mind, I wish I could sing. I really do. And we were singing Happy Birthday to Mike last night, and he told me to stop singing because I'm so bad. But the song that came into my mind was, I Just Want to See Jesus. I really like that song. I Want to See Jesus. See, if that's in our heart, then our eyes are going to look on the proper places. We're going to see the proper things. You see, a blind man cannot see light. And a man who can see but has no light in him is in the same predicament as a blind man. See, sin blinds us. And we cannot see the light. Now, the first part of that passage says that we're not to put our light under a bushel. We are to be the light of the world. We're to be the salt and the light. And in the way that we live, the way that we give, the way that we serve, is all an illustration of the love of God. So it's important what we look at. And what is it we desire? Okay, the last subject in Matthew 6. Can you go back to that? No one can serve two masters. The first thing I thought about was, it says no one can serve two masters. In other words, there's something that masters over you. There's something that's controlling you. Are you controlled in a sense? That's not a real good word, maybe. Are you under the influence and the direction of God, or are you under the influence of money? Which one controls you? Which one is it that you desire? 1 Timothy 6:10 says the love of money is what? Root of all evil. It's not how much money you have, it's the love of money. And I've caught myself over the years many times saying, oh, if I just made, you ever do that? See, that's the thing you got to catch yourself from doing. Because then you start, because God, money, two different paths. And when you start thinking in those kind of terms, you start going down the wrong path. And your relationship with God is way down. And so you're not into a right relationship that God wants you, because you let money overshadow what it is that God wants. And what He really wants is a relationship with you. God is a God of relationship. And God wants that relationship. But you know, in your own relationship with your husband, wife, or whatever, there are certain dynamics that have to take place to build that relationship. See? And from what I understand, money is one of the major subjects of why people get divorced. So, you know, money always seems to enter the picture. You know, money can't buy your way to heaven. And in, we won't necessarily take the time, but in Acts 8, 18 to 23, the story is this one man wanted to buy spiritual gifts. You can't buy spiritual gifts. Now, I do want to turn, there is another one, and my wife showed this to me, and she doesn't know I put this down. Ecclesiastes 9:9. There's something else you can't buy. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which He has given you under the sun. You can't buy a good wife. You can't do it. But you can be very thankful when you have one. Or if you have a good husband, whatever the case may be. Money can't buy that. And people have tried to do that. But that's not going to buy it. It's not going to cut the ice. All right, let me leave you with this. And you all know this. Life is full of choices. And in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, I don't think that's on the thing. He says, choose you this day who you will serve. Choose this day who you will serve. And Joshua replies, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May that be our desire, and may that be our goal, is serve the Lord and not money.